Let me get my glasses, and I want you to turn in your Bibles over to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 6. Father, meet us here tonight. I know you will. We have called a meeting, and we've understood and know that intercessory prayer means call to meeting. We have called a meeting tonight between you and between us individually. And in just a few minutes, we're going to come to meet with you, but we are going to share the word to encourage us to pray with power and strength and excitement in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6. You all that's been with us here for a long time, you know how much I love Revelation chapter 5. I've referred to that many times, 5, 8, 12, where it says the fire is forever burning on the altar. And I've talked about how the angels have those golden vials. Remember that, the golden bowls. And then in the bowls is the incense, and the incense is the prayers of the saints. And the saints is mixed with incense, and it causes smoke, and God sets it on fire, and it goes into the nostrils of God. And he recognizes our prayers. And then it says that the smoke causes the prayers of the saints and the incense to evaporate into the nostrils of God. And then here's what I've always told you. It's one of my favorite messages. I've probably given it to you 4 or 5 times over these 25 years. But it says the fire is forever burning on the altar, and the angels just take that same golden vial or that bowl and scoop it on that burning altar and cast it down to earth. And it says there were thunders and lightnings. And I've always wondered if that's why Paul and Silas were set out of jail, because they prayed and they praised and the jail doors shook. I wonder if the angels, after presenting those prayers, picked up the bowl of fire off the altar and put it back to earth and broke those doors loose. All right, well, that's not what I'm preaching tonight. I've always loved it. But I want to take you here, though. I was thinking of that today, because prayer is pure fire. I mean, it really is. And the sooner we learn that our prayers are fiery, they're so full of power and fire. And the sooner that we realize that, and we don't always, sometimes we realize it more than other times. But let's just read. Kathy will start with Leviticus chapter 6. Look at me, I'm already into my time. I didn't realize it was that late. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. Verse 8. Now remember this. When God says something once, that's pretty much he's making a comment. When he says it twice, he really wants you to pay attention. When he says it 3 times, we really need to say, God, what are you saying to me? Because any time he repeats something 3 times in this word, you can write it down. It's very, very serious and very important for us to learn. All right. Leviticus 6 and 8. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying this, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the earth, on the hearth, upon the altar, look, all night until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. Keep that fire burning. All right, let's go down to verse 12. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering on it, which was a little lamb, a little spotless lamb. Put the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13, third time. A fire shall always be burning where? On the altar. And it shall never go out, ever. So whenever you and I make a prayer altar, and we make an altar wherever we are, which we're about to do, you've got to know that when we approach that altar and come to it, it's forever burning. and it's powerful. Now, the reason they brought a lamb and they had a burnt offering sacrifice at 9 o'clock in the morning. Every priest had to do it. They put the lamb on the altar, the burning altar, at 9 o'clock in the morning. They did another one in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. Now, we're not going to run all the parallels here, but I will just throw this in here. Jesus was put on the cross, that spotless lamb, a male spotless lamb, at 9 o'clock in the morning sacrifice, and he died at 3, an evening sacrifice. Now, remember, and I refer to this often on Sunday mornings, I'll say, let's lift our hands as a what? As an evening sacrifice. So any time that we come to the burning altar and we sacrifice our praises and our love and our money, and just, I hate to even use that word sacrifice, because it's one of those things where we get to serve him. We get to, what is a sacrifice for us after what Jesus did? So whenever we go to the burning altar, we are honoring him. It's just like putting a burnt offering on it. Remember in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul said, present your body as what? A living sacrifice. So we become that living sacrifice. You and I are going to go to the altar in a few minutes, and we will be a living sacrifice, saying, Lord, we honor you. So those priests would go honor the Lord with that sweet little lamb in the morning and afternoon. And when they laid it down, they were honoring God with that little sacrifice. And then when God received it, he honored the people. And it says that they put that sacrifice on the altar for, listen to this, for all the congregation. So tonight as we come, I'm saying, Lord, I want us to cover all the congregation. All of us, not just us who are here, but the people, hallelujah, of God. So you men probably have a little different view, but I love fires. I just love them. I mean, not an arsonist, but I do love, especially when we lived at the ranch, you know. But, of course, my husband had to do all the work. The wood was always good, dead olive wood, and it just burned so hot, and it would just, you know, flicker and make that noise, and I loved it. And he would keep fire going. He loved the fires too. But now we just flip the switch and the fire comes on. In fact, Sarah and David bought me this little fireplace for my bedroom. And so I have that fireplace in a place where I can see it. And you know, it's now about 90-something outside at night. And man, I flip that switch, Brother Anthony, and I'm still watching that fire at night when I wake up. But, you know, there's just something about a fire, but those wood fires, as you men know, they have to be maintained. And there's a lot of men who say, I don't like that fire. You know, we just don't do that. We just get those gas logs. And that's about all we can do now anyway. But fires have to be maintained. And ours, in our heart, really has to be maintained. So, Rick, tonight, if you'll just put a little heading on this, let's call it, Don't Let Your Fire Go Out. Don't let your fire go out. And by the way, you can always find all of our messages on our website, even Brother Art's from Pentecost Sunday, if you want to go back over that. So let's go to Luke. Kathy, I'll turn over to Luke. Some of you might want to go over there with me. If not, you can look above. But let's look at a New Testament priest. And I want to show you how things really do happen. Things happen when we pray. Look at this. I'm so glad you got off work, Tanya, and you got to be here tonight. Bam's not here, but I'm glad you are. Did I say Luke 1? All right, look at Zechariah here. This is Mary's Aunt Elizabeth and her husband, Zacharias, and he was a priest. And they kind of took turns working in the holy place, keeping the fire going. We won't read it all, but look at verse 8. And so it was that while he, that Zacharias, was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was doing what? They were praying outside at the hour of incense. They couldn't go in, but the priest could. Aren't we blessed to be able to? We can all just come in here in his presence. I'm so glad we live in this hour. And so people had prayed outside. The priest was inside. But nevertheless, they were praying and he was offering the incense. Verse 11. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." I love it. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll call his name John. That was a huge prayer to be answered. She was barren. She couldn't have children. But they'd obviously been praying about it. And every time, Zechariah, the priest, went in there to offer up that incense and the people were praying, he would be praying, "Oh God, please give us a baby. My wife wants to have a baby so bad. Please give it." And you see, there's a time. And God said, "Zechariah, your prayer has been heard." It was heard at this very time. And you know, there's things that God doesn't have to put in. He didn't have to put that in there. But I believe he put it in just for us. And who knows that while you're at the altar praying tonight, or you're praying at your seat, or you're walking around praying, wherever it is, it's an altar. What if there's an angel that's going to be standing at the right side of the altar? And say, "Joellen, you've been praying about that situation, and your prayer's been heard tonight. He heard you tonight." It's a big old deal, you guys. I mean, there great things happen when we pray. I love that. All right, we'll move on. So we got to attend to the fire burning that God has said, "I want you to have it." So let me move on to 1 Samuel. If you want to go over there with me, you can. I think you'd enjoy reading it. If not, write it down and you can read it at home tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We won't read all this either, but I just want you to see enough to, as we're talking about praying tonight. Let's see. Kathy, let's go ahead with verse 1. I'll read fast, you guys. So let's go on down so we can get to verse 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. This little boy, by the way, is only about 8 years old. 8 years old. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Thank you, Jesus. That's not true today. Isn't that? Aren't you glad we live now? My Lord, we turn our TVs on. We can go on the internet. We can get it on the radio. I got like 25 channels at home, Christian TV channels. Some of them are just so awesome. And so there's no shortage. There's no widespread. The word is not rare in these days. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2. And it came to pass at that time while Eli, the old guy, he was laying down in his place. And when his eyes began to grow so dim that he could not see, and before, this is the important part I want you to see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here am I." Now, I think all of you know the rest of the story. The little boy, when he heard God's voice, he jumps up, runs into the old priest and says, "Did you call me? Did you call me?" "No, baby, I didn't. You just go back and lay down." "Come back the second time. Did you call me?" "Nope." "Third time. Did you call me?" "Honey, listen, I believe you're hearing the voice of the Lord." So you just go back in there, lay down, and if he speaks to you again, you just say, "Here I am, Lord. Your servant's listening. I'm hearing you. Go ahead and talk." And that's what happened. So I want to encourage you tonight. If your light feels like it's about to go out, and we've all been in those shoes, so don't feel guilty. We've all been at a place where our light feels like it's gone dim. Okay, so Eli was lying down. He's been in this thing for a long time. His eyes begin to grow dim, and he couldn't see. Now here, I want to call this, it's not about a physical eye, but it is about our spiritual eye. And if your spiritual eye starts to grow dim, like a lot of people in the body of Christ today, when the eye goes dim and you don't care about the spiritual things anymore, then the lamp is fixing to go out. But the good news is, look at verse 3. If you're looking at it in your Bible, you need to highlight it or underline it. And before, somebody say before. Before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel. And he said, "Here I am." So I want to tell you today, I know there's a lot of darkness on the earth, and it's just hideous. But the good news is, before the lamp goes out in God's house, he will call his people. He will call every one of us. He will touch that old backslider that's out there in the bar, laying in the bed with a person they're not married to. He will speak to them, and they will hear his voice. In the book of Romans, it said the dead will hear his voice. And it's not talking about the dead in the cemetery. They'll hear it at the end of time. He's talking about the walking dead people in the spirit. But he says, before their lamp goes totally out, I will speak to that backslider or the one that's gone cold and their light has gone dim, and I will call them back in as I did little Samuel. Hallelujah. And you know what's sad? Is to see people, pastors in particular, evangelists, and not just them, but a lot of people that can tell somebody else how to keep the fire going. Tell somebody else, "You need to do this, you need to do that." I just feel numb. Well, here's how you don't feel numb. But they can't get out of it themselves. I heard a woman saying that not too long ago. She said, "I can pray for everybody else and get them healed, but I just don't have faith to believe for me." And I want to say, baby, your fire's gone out. That's why you can't do that. Because what good is that, man? I don't want to just be able to tell you. If it don't work for me, why do I want it to work for you? I want to get in on it. I want to get in on it. So we're good with God. This is why I'm giving you a little history tonight. If he did it for them, a little 8-year-old boy and an old man, surely he'll do it for today's church and say, before the lamp goes out, the fire of God will hit, and revival glory will hit, and the saints will rise up, a mighty army of God. I'm telling you, church, it's upon us. It is, hallelujah, upon us. Remember what Paul told Timothy? He said, "Timothy, you're a sweet young man. You're my son in the faith." But he said, "You stir up those gifts that are within you. It came to you by your mama and your grandma." And he said, "You stir those gifts up. They were in you. They were put in you by the laying on of hands." And Timothy did. He stirred them up. And I'm telling you tonight, listen, and I just want to say this right now. You remember God changed Saul's name to Paul. And he changed Simon's name to Peter. And you know what, you guys? Our names have already been changed. I don't want you to forget that. See, our God already calls us by another name. I believe he's got these sweet little pet names for us. And not just little sweet names, but powerful names. Okay, from Jacob was a trickster, but God had already called him a prince with God. A prince. So I'm saying tonight, why don't you just ask God, God, what do you call me? I believe he'll show you. What do you call me? Because you know what? The devil's going to come and tell you everything you're not. The devil tries to tell you everything, and he tries to name you, but we are not going to allow that because we're living in a brand new day, and we cannot, Paul said, we cannot neglect the gift that is in us. We just can't do it. We can't let it go out. Now, Matthew 3:11. Kathy, go ahead and put that up. I just was going to quote just a piece of it. Look at this. One of my favorite scriptures. John was speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. See, God is the one. God started this initial fire in the tabernacle. He's the one that started that fire. That's why he said, priest, you got to keep this fire going. I said it, but you've got to work it. You've got to put the wood. You've got to keep the sacrifice there. Now, he says, but John says he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. We can't even be saved without the Holy Spirit drawing us. So I know we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive salvation, when we were born again. But after that, when he talks about he will baptize you, Old King James says this, listen. The Old King James says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. With. Like John baptized you with water, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I was a young girl. I never could grasp it. Well, I finally had to understand that that word with means in. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. So, it's one thing to drink the water, put the water inside us. Okay, that's what we did when we received salvation. But it's another one if you jump into the swimming pool tomorrow. Then you're inside the water. You're in it. This is in you. The outpouring is you in it. And so, that's the fire that we have to keep burning within us. We all have one. If you come to Jesus and you've been filled with the Spirit, you've got tongues of fire. Acts chapter 2 said, when they spoke in tongues, how did the world know? How did the world know that they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Because they spoke in other tongues. They spoke in tongues. And I pray that there's coming a time where everyone in the house, everyone in the church, everyone in the kingdom will be full of the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. We've got to speak in tongues every day. And Jesus said, when I come, I'll have the fan in my hand. Why is he going to have the fan? So he can fan that flame in every single one of us. I'll fan it. Because the Holy Ghost is not just speaking in tongues. It's the power of the Spirit. And church, if we need anything, we need the Holy Ghost. All right, let's just close with this. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Just a little something here about prayer and the tongues. And I want to make sure you're most of you are clear on it. But you all have Corinthians in your Bible. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. So how are you going to keep the fire burning, by the way? How are we going to keep, give me an example. How are you going to keep the fire burning in your heart? By what? Give me some examples. Tanya. Praying and the word, and what was the third? Fasting. Oh boy, that gives it a punch. Yeah, prayer, fasting, the word of God. So there's three. All right, let's read this. Look at this. Look at verse 15. So what is the conclusion then? 14:15. Do you have that, Kathy? What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, Paul says. That means I'll pray in tongues. I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll also pray with understanding. That means I'll pray in English. You know, I knew one lady one time, all she ever did was pray in tongues. Well, you just can't pray in tongues all the time. You need to pray in tongues, but you also need to pray in English so you know what you're saying. I will also pray with understanding, and I will sing with the Spirit. Yeah, I can sing in tongues. But I will also sing with understanding. I'll sing in English. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of uninformed say amen? He won't even know where to say amen if you're always giving your... If I'm up here preaching in tongues, you wouldn't even know when it's over, okay? And at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. So when you pray over the food, what if you started praying over the food and you had unbelievers at your table and you just started talking in tongues? Well, they didn't understand a thing you said. So Paul says, use a little wisdom. So what he's doing here in chapter 13 is setting order with everything from women preachers to interpretation of tongues and the speaking in tongues and all these. Okay, now look at verse 17. For you indeed give thanks well, but the others not edified. And then I love verse 18, just for somebody that might say, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Verse 18, Paul says, I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all. And I mean, he's talking to the people that were baptized on the day of Pentecost. He's talking to the 3,000, the 5,000, the 7,000. So I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet, look at this, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he said, it's good to speak in tongues because when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up on your most holy faith and you're edifying yourself in God because we need to get built up. So if your fire gets low, look, examine yourself right now. What if I said, what if the Lord asks us that? I'll say it like that. What if the Lord says, measure yourself? Where is the fire of your spirit? Would you say from 0 to 10? Where is your zeal? Where's your fire? Would you say it's down to about 3? Would you say it's 0? Would you say it's 10 plus? Would you say it's 5? Well, just think about that. Where is the fire? Does it need to be stirred up? Do you just need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say? As, you know, just before the fire goes out, I need to hear you, Lord. Talk to me. All right, so he's saying, I know the power of speaking in tongues because I speak in tongues more than all of you. But when it comes to inside the church, I'd rather speak 5 words of my understanding that I might teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Okay, so we'll read verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, but in malice be babes, and in understanding be mature. So, verse 21, and in the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me. He said they wouldn't even hear me with that. So, you guys, we've got a lot of good things in front of us. Don't you dare be discouraged because the best is yet to come to God's people. And the fire, I believe, is totally being ignited. He's coming to fan the flame. And let me just say this. Now, I've learned this, and many of you have too. In this life, we go through all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's just always, always something. One time I brought a message called, if it's not one thing, it's another. Just always something. But when we come to the place where we can have the same peace, whenever that circumstance is just flooding us out all around us, we can have the same peace right there, you guys, as we're going to have right here tonight at the altar. Same. That we would have at a prayer meeting. Sam, are you sure? No, I know that. It's just according to the word. We just read it. So practice getting that same peace that we have at the prayer meeting. It feels really good. Nothing's going on right now. It's just you and me and the Spirit of God here with us. How sweet it is. So beautiful. Don't worry about those that aren't here. It'll be fine. But you come, you're here. So we're never closer to the presence of the Lord like little Samuel. He was having to stay over there close to the presence of the Lord. So here we go. Rick, pull those lights down. Get your offerings. Bring it to the Lord when you feel like it, when you want to. You can cry out to God. You can be quiet to him. But I'm just saying, ask him to stir it up. Stir up the glory of God within us tonight. Father, the best is coming. Oh, we're thankful for the peace of God that we have. We're thankful for the joy. Lord, if we didn't have your joy, we wouldn't have any. You said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Wonderful, Master. Wonderful. Father, accept our offerings tonight. Accept our sacrifices of praise. Accept our words. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. I pray right now, Father, that you just fill this place, Father God. Fill each and every one of us, Father God, with your presence, Father God. Lord, if we need a refreshing of the Holy Ghost, Father God, fill us, Father. Fill us to the brim. Set us on fire for you, Father God, like never before, Father God. Stir up the gifts, Father God, that is within us, Father God. We have many gifts here, Father God. They need stirred. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, there's nothing too hard that you can do, Father God. Father God, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, Father God. Let us enter in, Father God, without any fear, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you, Father God, for the gifts that will come forth, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you're going to fill this place, Father God, like never before, that people will come in, Father God, and ask, what must I do to be saved? I want the same thing that you have. And Lord, what we have is the gift that you have given us down on the inside, Father God. Stir it up, Father God. Stir it from the front to the back, to the youngest to the oldest, Father God. Fill us with your glory, Father God, in this place. Saturate this place from the front to the back, Father God. And we pray right now for Pastor Blaylock, Father God. Stir her, Father God. Reunite that fire, Father God. Let it burn, Father God, for you, Father God. Let her seek your face. Let her be passionate about you, Father God. And then let her pour it out on us, Father God. From the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for your presence. There's none like you, Father God. There's none like you. We thank you, Father God. We've seen your works, Father God. We've read about it, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God. And we ask right now, Father God, if there's anything in us that is not like you, purge it, Father God. Shine your spotlight down on us, Father God. Reveal it so we can get it out of us, Father God. We repent of any iniquity, of any sin, Father God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now just fill us with your presence, Father God. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, we just want to know how much we love you. We want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for our lives, because you are greatly honored. You are greatly to be praised, and you are greatly to be adored, because you are worthy of honor and glory. For there is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. You are the only one and true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of all the apostles, oh, the God of the ancient prophets, the God of all born-again believers. Oh, we just glorify you and honor you tonight, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy upon each and every one of us. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for what you are doing. Lord, there's only one thing that we know. We are confident about our future because You hold the future. Lord, you have your word. You have your word for us, O Lord God, at all times. And we know that the Bible is a history written in advance by you. So we know, Lord God, that in Christ we have victory. Whatever it happened, Lord, it will be a victory for everyone that believes in you. So we greatly glorify you and honor you, Lord God, tonight. And thank you, Lord God, as you bless us, Lord. As you bless other people. And I pray, Lord, this city of Porterville, Lord, and we claim the unbelievers in this city, Lord, that you would touch each and every one of them, that you would draw them to your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for everything. We give you back all the praises, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, Father. Okay, I just want to pray. I knew that I was going to come up here since this morning. I'm going to say this really fast, but prayer is so important. It is very important. That's all I know to do is pray. People have failed me in my life. Family has failed me in my life. Relationships has failed me, but God has never, ever failed me. Even though I turned my face from him, even though I did things that I shouldn't have done, even though I knew God and still did things and still got upset and did stuff and I backslid and got myself into so much trouble that only God could get me out of. I got myself into trouble financially, but through prayer, I knew that God could get me out of those $20,000 that I needed to get out of. And every day when I came back to the Lord, every day I would get in my word and I would study. And that's what he told me. Just keep your eyes on me. It doesn't matter what it looks like in front of you, but keep your eyes in front of me. And when I began to pray and began to fast for myself to get out of this rut that I got myself into, God worked on my behalf. And there was times that he would wake me up at 2 a.m. and I didn't want to get up, but I knew that I needed a breakthrough. So if God, you want me up at 2, I'll get up at 2. If you want me up at 3, if you want me to pray for that individual, even though I have problems over here, but if you want me to pray for that person, I will do it. And you know what? After I started doing that and stopped thinking of myself and started praying for this one, started praying for that one, started praying over here, started fasting over here, it wasn't even about me anymore. It was about other people, and I didn't even care anymore what I was in debt with. I didn't even care about how I got hurt. I was more worried about that girl that wanted to kill herself, that wanted to commit suicide. I was more worried about that little boy that the devil's lying to him, saying that he's supposed to be gay. I was so worried about these other kids and these other children and parents that are blind and don't even see their own kids. And I'm like, God, I don't care about me anymore. So it is important to pray to Jesus. And there was a thing that I needed to do for my son, and God said, didn't I tell you to trust me? And this is about tithes and offerings. She didn't tell me to do this. I'm just saying that God did something for me. And I had been talking to another person because he doesn't believe in all of this. So he made me study and made me read. Not him, but the Holy Spirit said, I want you to speak to him and I want you to say these things and get in your word. And so there was a scripture that even said, I dare you to tithe. I dare you to put. It says it like that. And you know what? It wasn't even about, I'm going to get all these material stuff. I'm going to get all of this. But at the end, he does bless you with all of that. Your cupboards are full. And on top of that, if you have a husband, if you have children, the word even says he's going to protect them, even though they don't even go to church, even though they're not there, but they're your family. So your kids and children and your children's children, they're all going to get blessed just because you are praying and standing in the gap and putting that 10%. You make $1,600. how, what a blessing. All you have to do is give $160. What a blessing. You get to keep all of that, the rest for yourself. That is so awesome that God gives you that. And every week, every month, whatever you get, you give it to the Lord. I'm daring you guys and all of you here, what an honor to hear and to know, and all of the people that miss out on this. Just try it. Try it. Give your 10% of your check and see what God will do for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And that was my prayer speaking right now.
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for this night. It's been good to be in your presence. You have heard us. You're a God who answers prayer. And Father, you're right here with us. And I believe you would say to us, as you said to Zechariah, our prayers have been heard in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine on you, be gracious to you, turn his face toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name and divine health. Amen.